Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What a difference a year can make. Really, in the NFL, from week to week, it gets all kinds of loopy and things change. But what a difference a year can make. Body of work, big picture, the full perspective. And the two teams we saw on Sunday Night Football, well, they don't look anything like they did a year ago. But that's just one example. A lot of teams coming into the 2019 campaign with high expectations, with great anticipation of what the season could be, what it could mean, where it could take them. And we know many of those expectations are unmet and unfulfilled, even though we're not quite through week number 11. Realism, it has set in. What is the biggest disappointment of the 2019 season to date? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've been trying to drop in the latest news from around the NFL and college football. Of course, we'll have the latest college football playoff rankings coming up Tuesday night, the third set. And also by Tuesday night, you would expect that we would have the news, probably sooner than that, about Tua Tagovailoa's hip surgery. That's taking place in Houston later on today, this Monday, with a dislocated right hip and the wall fracture, posterior wall fracture that he suffered on Saturday late in the first half against Mississippi State. And at that point, Alabama was up 28, and Nick Saban had already indicated it would be Tua's final series, but Tua talked him into allowing him to stay in the game so they could work on their two-minute drill. And then the freak injury occurs, and all those teams out there that were using the hashtag, or fans of teams that were using the hashtag tanking for Tua, that's how quickly things can change. Again, what a difference a year can make in the storylines and the narratives, and certainly in the expectations. So on Twitter or Facebook, our phone number, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So we'll start with Sunday Night Football, which featured two offenses, really two teams, that didn't look a whole lot like they did this time last year. For the Bears, their offense continues to backpedal. Only 3.6 yards per play for Chicago. Certainly the Rams defense absolutely deserves a ton of credit, not just to Aaron Donald with the two sacks and the four quarterback hits, but also the role that Jalen Ramsey is playing in making passing yards so much more difficult to come by for LA opponents. And this was not a aesthetically pleasing game. A dozen punts between the two teams. Neither team got over 285 yards. So again, it wasn't a game in which you would be highlighting offense anyway. But for Jared Goff, there was something more than that. Do you know in his 4 years with the Rams, this is the fewest number of passes he's ever attempted? Only 18. Instead, it was about the run game. It was about pounding the rock. They prepared for that. They'd made some changes on their offensive line. And against the Bears, it worked to a T.
Strong right formation. A bunch of tight ends and Cooper Kupp to that side, leading the way for Gurley, who gets the handoff and hammers it in. Touchdown, Todd Gurley. Touchdown, L.A. From the five, it's first and goal. With Malcolm Brown behind him, they give to Brown straight ahead. He charges in for six. Touchdown, L.A. 3:31 to go in regulation, and the Rams take it back to a two-score lead.
We kind of knew the type of game it was going to be, and that was the type of game it was, just to run the ball, and specifically with Todd, the way he was moving the ball and the way he was moving, and it worked. It worked really well, and I just couldn't be more proud of the guys who stepped up today. I mean, it doesn't happen everywhere in the league where you have two O-linemen go down you have, you know, Johnny Mont, who's banged up, Tyler Higbee, who's banged up, and we're going to play you guys the entire game almost. And they freaking stepped up.
It worked. It definitely worked, even with a couple of rookies there on the offensive line. It was the heftiest workload for Todd Gurley in a year. So he had 97 yards with a touchdown on the ground and also had the Malcolm Brown run late in the fourth quarter that gave the Rams the edge that they would need. The calls with J.B. Long on the Rams radio network. As for Mitch Trubisky and the Chicago Bears, it was reported in the press box that he had a hip injury. He actually tells you when it happened and how he was feeling after the game.
It was something in the second half, one of the hits I took, got evaluated at halftime, something in the hip region where I was just trying to keep it loose the second half and be able to make plays for my team. And I just kept getting tighter and tighter in the hip region, and I just couldn't move around like I wanted to. And I was just throwing with a lot of arm, and I was trying to make plays and stay on the field and fight through. And just disappointed I couldn't finish.
It's been challenging, you know, because we just, these type of games, these close games, we want to come out on top, and we haven't done that. I really look just in general, just offensively. I know that we have the pieces and everything, and we haven't had that one game where it's just been four quarters of just fireworks.
So we're talking about a Matt Nagy squad that was first place in the NFC North a year ago. And while the offense certainly wasn't the driving force, that was absolutely the defense. Fact is, the offense would do enough. And they got enough production from their run game to keep opposing defenses honest. And so it's been really frustrating. Chase Daniel finished out the game. Trubisky was 24 of 43 with 190 yards, had a touchdown, had an interception. There was a sack. You hear him talk about his hip injury. I don't know whether or not this is a serious injury moving forward that we might not see him again. But boy, did Twitter blow up about Trubisky getting benched in one of the most critical junctures of the season, though. At that point, the Rams were up 10 points in the late stages. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Rams are 6-4, so they're still hanging around in the NFC race. Now, they're looking up. I just looked up, like they're looking up just to demonstrate it in my radio studio. They're looking up at the Niners and the Seahawks in the NFC West. And it's a tough nut to crack in the NFC. The playoff picture, while anything can happen over the next month and a half, the fact is you've got some teams that are pretty entrenched right now for both division races as well as for the wild cards. And the Rams would need some help. They're going to need some help. Somebody's going to have to stumble and fall back, and they have to continue to win. But at least there's hope. At least they've found a formula they believe will work for them now, which not anything like the high-profile, high-octane passing attack they had a year ago. Of course, it was a defensive struggle against the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, and the Patriots are still on that defensive tick of their own. This game against the Eagles on Sunday, it was Philadelphia jumping out to a double-digit lead. Really impressive drive in the first half, 95 yards, and the drive lasted almost 10 minutes. Think about that. You're Tom Brady. You're Julian Edelman. You're the offensive lineman. You're sitting on the bench so long that you've completely cooled off. 95 yards, nearly 10 minutes. And it results in a Dallas Goedert touchdown from Carson Wentz, and Philly is out to a 10-0 lead. And the red zone woes continue for the Patriots in the first half. They were 0-2, some bad throws under pressure by Tom Brady, and then Julian Edelman dropped a touchdown pass, after which he slammed his helmet into the turf on the sidelines. But you don't look a gift horse in the mouth, right? So Carson Wentz has a fumble in the final 3 minutes of that first half, and it leads to another field goal for the Patriots. So they're only trailing by a point at the half. And then the defense kicks in. New England does just enough, doesn't need to do a ton on offense. In fact, there wasn't a ton on offense. But the Patriots open up the second half with a 10-play, 84-yard drive of their own.
White to the right of Brady, off his hip. Edelman motions into the backfield, and then motions out to the right. Brady pass. Throws it to him. It's a lateral. Edelman's looking to throw, under pressure, to the end zone for Dorsett. A strike for a Patriots touchdown.
Julian Edelman doesn't catch one, but he throws one. And it was pretty to Philip Dorsett, who actually took a hard hit on that touchdown reception and did not return to the game. But it was 15 yards. It was the two-point conversion. And the Patriots had the lead then, 17-10. And yeah, that's how it stayed. Five straight second half punts for Philadelphia. The Eagles never found that groove in the second half. They were never able to string together an extended drive until the very end of the game. And what happens then? A touchdown. I mean, it would have been a really dramatic catch, but Nelson Agholor has a ball go off his fingertips as he's falling down in the end zone. Carson Wentz kind of drops it into him in the final minute, and the Patriots hang on for the win. So the defense was fantastic in the second half. Bill Belichick praising the D in the second half, really making the Eagles' offense look inept once they got out of the locker room. But for the Patriots offense, there are still plenty of questions. Tom Brady, 26 of 47 for just 216 yards, and the only touchdown pass was not thrown by him.
It's good to win. It's good to win. Go on the road and win is always tough, so they all count the same. But anytime we go on the road and beat a good team is a good feeling.
It's a little more difficult for the Patriots to run the ball in this game. They tried, only managed 74 rushing yards, but the defense did the rest. And for Carson Wentz and for the Eagles, you just cannot give the Patriots extra opportunities. You don't know if you're going to get any more opportunities. It was really impressive, though, to see what the Eagles defense did. And Doug Peterson noted that after the game, too, the fact that they had the secondary that's now fully healthy, and they were able to knock away passes. They were able to get in the passing lanes, make things difficult for the Patriots receivers. Edelman, Mohamed Sanu, Dorsett, while he was out there. Benjamin Watson had a couple of key catches as well. But the Eagles just could not muster any points. And so for them, they now fall back to 5-5, which is a game back of the Dallas Cowboys, who had a huge offensive performance. Of course, they're not lending any of that to Philadelphia. And the Patriots move to 9-1. And as Tom Brady says, it's good to win. A win is a win is a win is a win. So they stay two games in front of the Buffalo Bills and a game in front of the Ravens for top seed and home field throughout in the AFC. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, who is the biggest disappointment? It's so nice that you can't say the Bills in 2019. Because that's certainly been a narrative for a lot of years. But let us know what you think. 855-212-4227. Coming up, the Niners find a new way to win. And the Vikings do something that hasn't been done in a really long time. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
So it's first and 10, 49ers on the Arizona 25-yard line. Garoppolo in the shotgun. Wilson Jr.'s in. He runs inside. He's got a 10, 5, touchdown! San Francisco!
You know, when guys got their number called, a little banged up, some guys, and they just played through it. I mean, up front, those guys were tremendous, and the skill positions were awesome.
Hits. Misses and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Greg Papa on the Niners radio network. He ran out of breath, but it's understandable. 31 seconds to go in Jimmy Garoppolo's career day. In fact, the fifth lead change. So it took all of what Garoppolo had to offer for the Niners to get by the Arizona Cardinals. So with 31 seconds left in the fourth quarter, Jeff Wilson hauls in not just his only catch, but his only touchdown. 65 yards was that drive, and it really was the perfect execution of the two-minute drill. No George Kittle, but it was the backup, Ross Dwelly at tight end, who had a pair of touchdowns. And here's the other thing that stands out about this game with the Niners. They were unable to run the ball. So all the questions about Jimmy Garoppolo and his ability to carry and spark the offense had to be answered. People didn't get the satisfactory answer they were looking for against the Seahawks, but definitely did against the Arizona Cardinals, as he passes for 424 yards and four scores. Last Niners QB to do that, Steve Young. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As for the Cardinals, it's a brand new quarterback. It's a brand new coach. They don't have a ton of talent. Still, they're building. They're working on setting that roster in this Cliff Kingsbury era. But certainly you can understand why Kyler Murray is frustrated about how the season has gone.
I've always won. So, and then being situations like when you go up 16 or you're in position to win and you should win, it's disappointing.
Penalties obviously don't help, and turnovers don't help. But effort's been there all season, and we've got to find a way when we get back from this bye to finish games.
They get close. They are the pain in the side of the other teams in the NFC West because they push and push. And certainly if you think about the tie, their season opener that they had in which they were able to rally against the Detroit Lions and nearly pull out a win. I mean, and they're close. But as you hear from Kingsbury, they've got to be able to put together a full 60-minute game, and they've got to clean up some of the little mistakes like the penalties and a turnover, though you rarely see Larry Fitzgerald with a fumble. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So you've got the Niners who are at 9-1, the Seahawks off this weekend. They're at 8-2, and we talked about the Rams being 6-4. I don't know that you could call the Arizona Cardinals a disappointment considering that they were essentially hitting the reset button and starting over. But elsewhere in the NFC, how about the Washington Redskins? I mean, yeah, they've got a rookie quarterback and they do have some other guys with great skills, but they've had a ton of injuries as well, and trying to get Dwayne Haskins acclimated more quickly than they wanted to. And then the Lions and the Bears for sure. The Falcons, even though they've won back-to-back games, has plenty of disappointment to go around there in the NFC and some of the basements of these divisions. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. If you want to weigh in with your biggest disappointment of 2019, it was nearly a massive disappointment for the Minnesota Vikings this weekend. So we're just talking about the Niners. They had to rally from 16 points down against the Arizona Cardinals. Well, that was matched and surpassed by the Minnesota Vikings, who were at home and were down at the half 20-0 against the Denver Broncos. I don't pay much attention to pregame lines or spreads, but I did see that this was a double-figure spread. So the Vikings were favored by double digits in this game at home, again, against the Denver Broncos. But it was a brutal first half. The Broncos were able to stuff the run. They do have that ability on defense. And when the Vikings don't run the ball, when Dalvin Cook does not find space and does not find openings, it really makes the rest of the Vikings offense ineffective. And that's good. They've come to count on him. They have him. But early on in this game, you had Brandon Allen and the Broncos offense scoring, but the Vikings couldn't come up with anything. So what do? They shift to an up-tempo offense in the second half. And to hear the reports of the locker room, morose and dejected and frustrated and angry. And so they make this switch. And then in the second half, it was a completely different story. Not only did they make a switch, but it was like they flipped a switch.
Third and two. They're going to fake a handoff to Cook. Cousins boots out to the left. Passes to Diggs. Caught! 55! Touchdown! A 54-yard touchdown to Stephon Diggs. And it's 23-19 Denver. First and 10 from Denver's 32. Cousins under center play action. Bootlegs out to the left. Looking to the left. Firing. Caught! For all the money. Allen, shotgun, snap. It's going to fade right.
That's a push-off.
And the Minnesota Vikings have beaten the Denver Broncos as the Vikings flood the field. They head into the bye with positivity and their eighth victory of the season. They come all the way back.
That's Paul Allen, our friend on the Vikings radio network. Pretty impressive second half. And then they had to withstand multiple shots at the end zone by Allen and the Broncos in those final seconds. And as you hear, able to knock away the last ditch attempt. So they score touchdowns on all four drives in the second half. Kirk Cousins ends up with this blitz, just incredible second half performance. Stephon Diggs being his favorite target. He had that 54-yard score. And really, it was about them making that shift and adding a little pace to their offense.
It's a really interesting deal because I've played a lot of football, and I go back to college. Whenever we were stalling, Mark D'Antonio would say, hey, just jump in at 2 minute. Because many times you jump in at 2 minute and suddenly it just has a different feel to it. And next thing you know, you're going.
They certainly were going, and the Broncos were left behind. So a huge rally. The last 99 teams who were trailing by 20 points or more at the half had all lost those games until the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. And so a huge deal for Minnesota because the Vikings keep pace with the Packers, who, of course, are off this week. And for the Vikings, they're now at 8-3, so they have their bye yet to come. And so the Packers, they have the same number of wins now. And so this is going to be a fight, as you can imagine, the rest of the way. And it's good for the NFC North. It's good for their rivalries, good for the competition. I don't know if you saw this. If you watched Sunday Night Football, you probably saw it or heard it more than once. Next week, the game between the Packers and the Niners has been flexed to Sunday Night Football. And so it will be a national broadcast. So right now, those are the top two seeds in the NFC, even though the playoffs do not begin today. The regular season does not end today. Minnesota needs to keep pace, and there is another game coming up with the Vikings still on the schedule. In fact, the last three games of the Packers slate are all inside the NFC North. Now, Bears and Lions, of course, for them, those are likely to be opportunities to play the role of spoiler. But that game at Minneapolis is 2 days before Christmas. It's week 16 in the NFL and should be a doozy if these two teams stay on pace. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There's so much happening in the NFL, but not just the NFL, not just the NFL games. Also, NFL news from the weekend. The suspensions handed down for the Steelers and Browns brawl at the end of Thursday Night Football. The league was quick to drop the hammer. Those appeals will be heard for Myles Garrett, for Marquise Pouncey, and for Larry Ogunjobi. They come up on Monday and Tuesday. In addition to that, the Colin Kaepernick workout, it turned into a sideshow, and it wasn't anything like what the NFL expected or was hoping to do. And in fact, they're saying Colin didn't even show up for his workout. He moved it about 60 miles away and instead controlled the narrative on his own. And so you've once again got the two sides drawing lines in the sand and spinning it and giving their version of how things happened over the weekend, but they don't appear to be any closer to finding any resolution. So we'll get to your calls, and also we're kind of working our way through some of the major storylines. The Baltimore Ravens with yet another performance from Lamar Jackson that's just jaw-dropping.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Jackson takes the snap, looks to the right, pocket collapsing, fires back of the end zone. It is caught! Touchdown, Seth Roberts! Okay. His first as a Raven and the first points of the day. Five wide. Jackson wants to throw. Has time. Fires to the end zone. He's got a man. Touchdown, Ravens. Mark Andrews as he leaps into the stands with the Ravens' second touchdown of the game. Second down and 11. Jackson will throw out of the shotgun. He's got Ingram wide open. Far side 20. 15, 10, 5, and he's in. Touchdown, Ravens. Lamar Jackson pirouettes to the left. Throws a strike to Ingram. Ducks under one tackler, the 10, to the 5, lunges at the 1, touchdown, Mark Ingram. T.O.B., thing of beauty. What a play.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Man, the Ravens look like they are having a blast. And why not? Winning is fun, but it's also the energy that they get from Lamar Jackson, the 22-year-old QB. I saw the pregame interview that Bill Cowher did with John Harbaugh, and he said, Lamar makes me feel young again. He said that it's just some kind of new energy and excitement when he's around, and he's working so hard to get better, and he cares about doing it the right way, and that's been reinvigorating to Harbaugh as well as the entire Ravens organization. Jerry Sandusky, T-O-B. I've never heard that before, but on the Ravens radio network, it seems fitting, right? You got to come up with new ways to describe what Lamar Jackson is doing on the football field. The game was scoreless with the Texans after the first quarter, and it was ugly, U-G-L-Y. But after that, Lamar and the Ravens really settled into a groove, and they played that ball control game that they're so good at. 263 yards rushing as a team. Lamar well over 300 yards total, had another four touchdowns. And after the fact, it's got to be one of my favorite pieces of press conference sound of the entire weekend, maybe of the entire season. Mark Ingram, I mean, you just need to listen to him to know how much fun they're having.
MVP front runner. If anybody else got to say something different about that, then come see me. I'm right here in Beemore outside the bank. If you got an issue with that, come see me. I'm about that. Big trust. Woo woo. Lamar Jackson in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
Big trust.
He is in Ravens Church right there, and he's got a captive audience telling him preach. Wait, can we hear it again? Well, they're in a room where they do post-game press conferences. So either there are other Ravens who are sitting there waiting. Lamar Jackson was just off to the side. He followed Mark Ingram in. Or these are members of the Ravens media staff who are
MVP front runner.
Telling him amen.
If anybody else got to say something different about that, then come see me. I'm right here in Beemore outside the bank. If you got an issue with that, come see me. I'm about that. Whoopie. Big trust. Whoopie. Woo woo. Lamar Jackson in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
Big trust.
Mark Ingram might need to be a candidate for the Masked Singer. Seems like he could belt it out a little bit. I love that. Like I said, they are having so much fun. And that joy, that winning, that excitement, it's all contagious. So Baltimore dominates the time of possession, nearly 500 yards of offense. And the defense does its part as well, stifling Deshaun Watson. Six sacks, a couple of turnovers. And I tweeted this during the game, and some Houston fans got mad at me. Houston, you have a dot, dot, dot. Well, you know. I felt like it would be too cliche, but still I could be cute about it. Yeah, no, it didn't fly so well. Six straight wins, the longest streak for the Ravens since 2000. And with the Texans' loss and the Colts' victory yesterday, they also dominated with the ground attack. So for the Colts, had three scores in the second half against the Jaguars that really locked it up, but a season-high 264 yards rushing for the Colts. So they bested the Ravens by a mere yard. But the Colts take over first place in the AFC South just for now. Same record as the Texans, though they do have the tie break at this point.
Houston, we have a problem.
See what I mean? Tom Hanks is my favorite actor of all time. I didn't want to be too campy, but I still found myself amusing. 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So we're asking you not only who's the biggest disappointment of 2019 to date, but we want your votes for Monday MVP. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, and then we'll get to your calls here. Let's see. Mike is in Philadelphia. Welcome to After Hours.
Amy Lawrence, Mike the Fan.
Hello.
Haven't talked to you in a month. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks.
I'm going to answer your question. I'll go rapid fire, but I'll go slow. It has got to be the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'll tell you why. They could have kept Foles, and they should have, but they didn't. The players could have been ready for camp and the preseason, but they weren't. Wentz did not play in the preseason. He should have. And the next thing you know, they got all kinds of issues, injury issues in the beginning of the season. Wentz is a little uncertain of what's going on. Then when Coach Peterson realizes, you know what, we do have to run the ball to set up the pass, they finally do, and they beat two teams. Then what happens is a knucklehead, decides to speak, who doesn't know his role, that wide receiver coach, after they'd won two in a row. So I was hoping they would have ran a two tight end set. They had 2 weeks to get ready to do it, and Belichick and Brady would have been on their knees, on their back, just been pushed around and not even on the field like happened. Mr. Belichick and Mr. Brady made great adjustments at halftime, and the defense, despite playing great, the offense did not execute in the second half, and that's why they lost that game, because I was there. How do you feel about that?
I think you make a lot of good points. I bet that second half was not as much fun as the first half.
It wasn't. And when I do, I get to the game, and I get on the suite level, and I kind of flow and go and meet and greet as many people as I can affiliated with my company now since I'm back to work. But it's unfortunate, but I think they're still going to be fine. I think the BB and P crew, is what do you expect from that organization? That's the way they roll. And I think they should have addressed the secondary, and they didn't. I don't know why it was a weakness for them for 3 years. And they should have kept Foles and let Carson earn the starting position.
Foles wanted to go. I mean, that was the deal. They were going to let him go if he wanted to go, and he wanted the opportunity. That's why not only did he agree to let them out of the contract, but they agreed to it as well because he wanted to go start somewhere else. So that, I mean, they would have loved to have kept him as a member of their locker room, but they were not going to have him compete with Carson Wentz for the starting job, of course, and he wanted to go play somewhere else. So I don't fault him that. It was good to see him back on the field yesterday. Mike, I'm glad I hope you enjoyed the game despite the loss. Thanks so much for calling.
You bet.
Mark is listening in New Hampshire. Welcome to After Hours.
Hello.
Hello.
Let me take you off speakerphone.
I'm not on speakerphone.
How's that? Is that better?
That's great.
All right. Hi, Pam. How are you?
I'm sorry, what?
Not Pam. Amy.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm good now that you know my name.
Yeah. I was wondering if you think Rob Gronkowski will come back for the Pats.
Yeah, that's an interesting question because he's making a big announcement on Instagram come Tuesday, right? Now, the last time he said he had a big announcement, it had to do with his company and CBD. But we had a caller last week using an alias, Mark, who said that he had it on good authority from inside Gronk's family that he had decided to return to football. We know that Bob Kraft has been urging him to return to football. So maybe this is the announcement. But honestly, I have no idea. I wouldn't be surprised either way. I wouldn't be surprised if he decided not to come back because of the fact that he's enjoying, you know, his broadcasting duties and he looks like he's having a good time and he's not taking the pounding on his body and he says he's healthy again. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they had coaxed him to come back. My only question is this. What about the CBD? Because it's a banned substance under NFL policy. So did he stop using it a month ago? Or yeah, that's the only thing I don't know.
And I also think, Amy, that he's maybe endorsing another product. Maybe that's the announcement.
Right. He might be. He might just be playing on this whole deadline that's coming up because November 30th is the drop dead for him to be able to return. So he may just be using that to generate excitement and publicity. And, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time, right, because that was what he did a few weeks ago. Or I guess it's been a month now. That he did his first announcement about his company in CBD. So I wish I had some insight to offer. I don't. I can only tell you what the caller said last week, and he could have very well been pulling my leg. So he may come back, but I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't because he certainly looks like he's enjoying his time away from football. Thanks so much, Mark. I appreciate your phone call. 855-212-4227. That's always our toll-free line. We, of course, have Monday night football that will take place tonight. So Sunday night football was in Los Angeles at the Coliseum. But Monday night football is not really in Los Angeles, though it is the Los Angeles Chargers who will be hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. And what a pivotal game this is in the AFC West. It's funny because these two teams are nothing like they were a year ago when they were fighting to the end for the division title. And, of course, both teams went to the playoffs last season. Chargers are at 4-6, and they're only two games back of the Raiders and the Chiefs. And in the AFC, it's everybody all bunched together. Outside of the Patriots, the Bills, the Ravens, the Bills now have 7 wins, so they put themselves in front of the pack a little bit. But it's conceivable that the Chargers could still win the AFC West. These teams generally all play each other a lot more toward the end of the season. The NFL likes to backload division battles. But even thinking about wild cards, let's just say for the sake of argument that you've got two teams from the AFC East, the Patriots and Bills, who end up in the playoffs. The Ravens right now have a 3-game lead over the Steelers in the AFC North, so they would go either the Colts or Texans, and then let's just say Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, one of those teams. Well, then you're thinking about a second wild card, right? Well, the Steelers are still alive, either the Colts or Texans. The Titans are at 5-5, so they're right in there as well. In fact, the entire AFC South is only separated by 2 games, which means the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have the same record as the Chargers, are very much alive too. Now, these teams may need a little help, a little helping hand, little charity, little love, but anything is possible. We know that to be sure in the NFL. Now, coming up next weekend, it's week 12. What? And then it's Thanksgiving. Woo! My favorite holiday of the year. So coming up Sunday, week 12, the NFL on CBS is highlighted by a full afternoon of games, including, well, it's only afternoon in parts of the country, but including an NFC South clash between Carolina and New Orleans, and then the Raiders on the road against the Jets. It all starts with JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, which is why I say you got to watch your time zones only on CBS. All right, so a lot of you sending me, sharing with me your disappointments about this 2019 season to date. Les says, with all the preseason hype, it has to be the Cleveland Browns. A lot of you are saying the Browns. A lot of you are saying the Bears. Rick on Facebook, one word, Lions. I would have been more impressed if he had said one word and then had an emoji of a lion, or one word, roar. Or meow would have been even better. But I guess that could have been the Jaguars. That could have been a different cat. Sorry, I don't know why I found that funny. Maybe because it's the end of a 16-hour workday. Oh, it could have been the Bengals as well, I guess. Let's see. John says the New England Patriots offense, and he's in all caps here. Yes, their record is good, but they better start scoring. Sounds very ominous. Robert on Facebook, the team in Washington, the Deadskins. Okay. let's see. Ben says the Chicago Bears. Rodney says the Texans. Oh, the only vote I've seen for the Houston Texans. And then Robert says the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, we had a caller earlier who asked me, how would you evaluate Zach Taylor? But how do you evaluate Zach Taylor? There's really no way to do it. They don't have a full roster that's yet handpicked for his system. Has he even had a chance to establish his system? He's made a quarterback change. They've been without A.J. Green. I mean, there's just so much there that you can pick apart with the Bengals, who are still winless. All right, we're back tonight after Monday Night Football, so we will talk to you then. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great Monday. After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.